I even knew it was coming. How did you even get through that song? Wow. Hey, it's... I'll get over this in a minute. All right. There's going to be a day when that's going to be us running to the Lord. Okay. Well, as a lot of you know, I am the evangelism director for the Minnesota-Wisconsin Baptist Convention, but I'm also the stewardship director. That means I help our churches with evangelism, and I help them with budgets and stewardship and all that kind of stuff. I belong to a group called the Stewardship Development Association. It's part of my work, and one of the things that we had decided a year ago in the Stewardship Development Association was that obedient Christians, and like what I'm about to tell you really is nothing new, okay? But obedient Christians make healthy churches, which lead to effective ministries. And so what we started doing a year ago is we started writing and developing scripts and producing videos to help our churches see that obedient Christians make for healthy churches and leads to effective ministries. And the video that you're about to see, I know we've already had two videos, what's this? You know, but I'm going to show you a video. We just finished this. And you may be one of the very first churches in the nation that's getting to see this. They just presented it at the Southern Baptist Convention. But I've got an advanced copy. And so I just want you to be encouraged with this. But as you're looking at this, remember, obedient Christians make for healthy churches, which lead to effective ministries. Jim, could you roll that for us, please? Effective ministry. I just want you to know that last night was a very tough night for me. God's been dealing with me on some things, and it all came to a head last night. One of the things that I do before I preach is I find a place and I pace and I talk out my sermon. Well, last night, as I was talking out my sermon, I was actually in the kitchen, if you want to kind of get a visual of this. I was in our kitchen, and we have the little the table there in the middle of the island, and I was just kind of walking around it. And I was hearing these fireworks that people light, and they kind of scream, you know. And so here I am listening to these screaming fireworks. And boy, they were getting really loud. And they were really close. And so I opened the curtain in the window and I looked out in our cul-de-sac and here were three police cars. And a young girl that they had just put in handcuffs who was screaming. Later on, I went down to Lexi and I said, "Did you hear all that screaming?" She says, "Yeah, I thought you were watching a movie." You know, but it was a young girl in our cul-de-sac screaming. It wasn't fireworks. It was her screaming in handcuffs and them throwing her in the back of the car. Not throwing. Putting her in the back of the car with her kicking and screaming and hollering and them safely putting her in the back of the car. I thought I saw my neighbor out there, Tina, so I went out the door to see if everything was okay. And it wasn't Tina, it was a different girl. But when the police officer saw me, he came over and he talked to me. He said, he named the girl's name, and I hadn't even recognized her when I saw her from the window, but I knew that she was my neighbor's daughter. And they said, "Do you know your neighbors?" I said, "Well, yeah." "Well, do you know how we can get in contact with them?" And I had to tell them no. Now that broke my heart, because I've been living in that house for 5 years. And Steve and Tina, I couldn't even remember their last name. And I had no idea how to get in contact with them. But you see, God has been doing some things in with me that not just that. But Jeremy, I don't know if I ever told you, but last year, a Somali couple moved into, in our cul-de-sac, there's four houses. A Somali couple moved in. And I felt like God was leading me to make a relationship there. And that's kind of hard. And so, every time I had a chance, it was like, later. And then just a few weeks ago, they moved. And God started grabbing my heart and saying, "You missed your opportunity." You know, and it was kind of like, I teach apologetics at Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. I teach the stuff that would have helped them to possibly know who Jesus really is rather than what they believed Him to be. And all of a sudden I realized that all of that teaching at Midwestern apologetics didn't make any difference in my life when it came to my neighbor. See how God was messing with me? He wasn't messing with me to be mean, but He was messing with me to show me that it doesn't matter if you're a professor at a seminary. If you don't put it into practice, you're not being an obedient Christian. I'm sorry I'm dumping on you, but I'm not going to carry this alone, okay? So, then add to that, we had a neighbor who just, I mean, this was just a few days ago. A big moving van came and they were moving. And I had no idea. I remember when they moved in 2 years ago, I went over to their house and I said, "Oh, we have a great cul-de-sac here and we get together and we have fires and we just have a good time." And I said, "We're going to invite you." And they were like, "Yeah, let's do that." And now 2 years later, they are moving and we never had them over once. And it was like, now the Somali couple, now they're moving, and it's like, okay, so I teach Sunday school here. So I lead a Thursday night small group. So what? Did I ever invite them? No, I didn't. Now, they've moved. And I even told them, "We're going to do something." Pastor Josh, I didn't feel so good about that. And then last night, my neighbor's daughter, getting handcuffed, placed into a squad car, and the police are asking me, "Can you help us get in touch with her parents?" And I don't have a clue. And when we first moved in, they invited us over to their house for dinner. 3 years ago was the last time I had them over to my house. It was during my... Some of you met him because you came to my 50th birthday. Thank you, Lexi. And he was there. So some of you met him. But I really haven't had much contact with him. And then when it really counts, it doesn't matter that I'm on the pastor search committee here. What does that do for him and his daughter? Oh yeah, I serve on the personnel committee. God, see, I do these things. Did it matter? You guys have the same thing. You serve the church and all. But question is, does it really impact our neighbors? And I came in and I was trying to put the sermon together and it's like, okay, God, I'm changing the message. Jeremy, what I told you I'm preaching on, I'm not. Because I want to talk about four marks of a healthy church. Now remember that obedient Christians get together and have healthy churches, that leads to effective ministries. And I am sitting here going and watching the police cars drive away with my neighbor's daughter and me not being able to do anything to help and have no basis for ministering to that family, feeling guilty about the Somali couple, feeling guilty about the other couple that I don't even remember their names, but I told them we would get together with them, and now my neighbor's daughter. And God is just putting this on me and said, David, I don't care what all you're doing. You're not being obedient in your cul-de-sac. Now that's hard to carry. Okay? And so, I need some encouragement. And so, where do you go for encouragement? You go to God's Word. And I'd like for you to turn to Acts chapter 5. Because I needed to remind myself of this. And so I want to share with our church. I mean, look, we're looking for a pastor. We need a pastor. Oh, and by the way, as on the personnel committee, we do have a recommendation for you in the box out there. So on your way out, before you get your burgers at the Burger Bash today, grab the things in your box there, and there is a recommendation, because next week we have a business meeting and that will be presented to you, and we'd like for you to know about that before you come. So, but we're looking for a pastor. And so, when a pastor asks, hey, what kind of church are you? You know what I want to say? I want to say, we're a healthy church. We're a healthy church. That's what I want to say. And so we're going to look at some things, some marks of a healthy church. Now, there are a lot of marks in the Bible about a healthy church, but we're just going to look at four. We're just going to look at the four that come out of this passage. And so when we look at this, remember that obedient Christians gather in healthy churches and have effective ministries. Now we're going to talk about the healthy church, four marks of a healthy church. But it also, we have to remind ourselves that in order for us to have a healthy church, we have got to be obedient. We have got to be healthy. So we're talking in context of the church, but it also relates to us. Alright, so, Acts chapter 5. Now it starts off in Acts chapter 5, and we're not going to look at that, but that's Ananias and Sapphira and the story there. And if you've never read that story, it's an interesting story. But right after that story, we come to verse 12. Acts chapter 5, verse 12. I'm going to read this for you, 12 through 16. And it says, the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by evil spirits, and all of them were healed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we've read your word. And now we need to see how it applies to us. So open our hearts and open our eyes, open our understanding to see how what was going on in this church needs to be the same things that are going on in our church. Father, this was a healthy church. We want to be healthy too. Bless us, Father, as we look at your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Now it first starts off with something rather interesting. It says the apostles performed many miraculous signs among the people. Now, I want you just to think through something here. There are some churches today that are meeting even right now, and they are having miraculous signs and wonders going on in the congregation. Now, I've been to some of those churches, and let me just say that for the most part, when I'm there, it seems to me that these are just conjured up things, and they're just doing some interesting things. I don't want to take anything away from God. But I want to tell you that if we are going to be a healthy church, the first thing that we must have, the first mark, is that we need to be a supernatural church. I remember when I was talking about being a supernatural church one time, and some people started getting real nervous. They started thinking, my goodness, is this guy Pentecostal? You know, is he about to bring out the snakes and the poison and drinking the, you know, no. All right. Because you see, a supernatural church is simply God working through His people so that we can do what He's called us to do in a way that we couldn't do it ourselves, and it's a way that only He can do. Now, you would be able to agree with me that this church that we just read about, they were doing what God had called them to do. We'd say yes. Okay? And they were doing it in only the way that they could through God's power flowing through them. You'd say yes, absolutely. And they were accomplishing the ministry that God had for them by relying on His power flowing through them to accomplish this. You'd say yes. And I'm saying today that if we're going to be a healthy church, we need to do the very same thing. We need to seek God, and we need to say, all right, God, what do You want us to do? As a church, Father, who are we supposed to be? What are we supposed to do? Now, when He actually answers that, it scares you to death. All right? Because He always asks a church to do that which is impossible. Humanly speaking, God asks a church to do that which is impossible. But when we, as the followers of Jesus Christ, allow God to work through us, then He allows us to be part of the impossible. Does this make sense to you? Are you following? So in other words, me personally, a Somali couple next to me, that's like impossible. Really? Come on, Lord. They don't believe the way I do. They're Muslims. Father, they don't even want to talk to me. They think of me as an infidel. All right? They think of... You got the idea. But could God have opened those doors? Oh, yeah. Could God have worked in me to cause this to happen? Oh, yeah. Yeah. He could have. Did I let Him? No, I did not. And so here we are as a church. When we start asking, God, what do You want us to do? What do You want us to be? He is going to reveal things to us that are absolutely impossible. And we got a choice then. We're going to be scared no matter what. But our choice is whether we're going to believe God and let Him work through us so that we then are supernatural Christians. Because you're a supernatural Christian when God shows you what you need to do and you rely on His strength to do it. That's when you're being a supernatural Christian. And so, I think that God wants us to be a supernatural church. A supernatural church is very simply supernatural Christians gathering together and making and letting God work through them to accomplish what we couldn't do alone. That's what it is. So the first mark of a healthy church is that it is supernatural. The church is relying on God's strength to do what it cannot do. And when God does it and when God comes through, everybody looks around and goes, wow. But that doesn't happen unless you have supernatural Christians. Christians who say, yes, Lord, I want to do what You want me to do, and I'm scared to death, but I'm giving myself to You. You go ahead and work through me. So the first mark is supernatural. Now let's look at the second mark. It says, we'll go back to the beginning, the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. And verse 13 says, and no one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Now, you know what? I don't want people to be scared to drive into that driveway, to park their car, and to come into this building. But you know what? There are people who are scared of that. There are people who would drive by this building, and if you would say to them, hey, why don't you come in? They'd go like, wow, you know, really? I don't even know what goes on in there. I don't know what they do. If they ever find out we're Southern Baptist, who knows what those people do, you know? I don't even want to go into a Lutheran or Catholic church, but man, Southern Baptist, are you kidding me? They do weird things in there, I'm sure of it. I saw it on TV once. I don't want people to be scared of coming in. But even in this healthy, perfect church, I don't know perfect, but healthy church in the beginning, there were people who dared not join them. See, what was happening is they were going into the temple. They didn't have a nice building to meet in where they could seclude themselves from everybody. They had their meetings in the temple, in Solomon's porch there. And they would get together every day and they would have worship services and they'd have preaching. And the people who were coming into the temple would see this. But notice what it says. It says they were highly regarded by the people. You know what that means? It just simply means they were respected. If we are going to have a healthy church, we have got to be respected. Now, understand that there are going to be people who do not respect God. They don't respect Christianity. They don't respect our faith. So no matter what, they're not going to respect us. But the thing that we need to remember is that they need to respect our actions. Some of you have got the little fish sign in the back of your car. You know how that is. You know, you got a little bumper sticker that says, when the rapture happens, this car will be unmanned or whatever. You know, we have these little things that we put on our vehicles that signify that we're Christians. Well, I'm going to tell you something. If you've got that on your car, you better drive right. Okay? You really had better drive correctly. Because your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is going to be judged by outsiders according to your standard of living. So we've got to be careful that they don't even think we're making hand gestures. We've got to be careful that they don't see on our faces contempt for them. It's, you know what I'm talking about. We need to be respected. And if we are not respected, our church isn't going to be respected. When I was pastoring in Mississippi, I was at the seminary in New Orleans, and about 125 miles away, there was a church that was looking for a pastor, and nobody wanted to drive that far except me because I was desperate. I needed to learn how to preach. So they hired me as their pastor. And so one of the things that I did was, I did the sermons, but I'd go up and I'd go around to this in the town and I'd start knocking on doors and I would start inviting people to come to church. I mean, what do you do, Jeremy? That's just one thing you can do. I was introducing myself to people and a lot of them would say, oh yeah, we used to go to that church. Well, really? Well, why don't you go there now? That's not a good question to ask. Because they will tell you. And I soon began to realize that the church that I had agreed to pastor had a rotten testimony in the community. Now, this was a community of 600 people. Trust me. If you have a bad reputation, everybody knows. And people did not want to come to that church because of what had happened in the past and what was continuing to happen even to that day. They had a terrible reputation. Now, is God going to be able to use that church to impact that community? Not unless they get right. And so if we're going to be a healthy church, we've got to be a respected church. Now, this is where it gets back to us. A healthy church is made up of obedient Christians. If we are going to have a healthy church, if we are going to have a respected church, we have got to have people respecting us. Therefore, we've got to live our lives the way we know we're supposed to. You know, I don't have to sit and give you a list of things you should do and what you shouldn't do. You already know that. You've sat in the preaching long enough. You've been in Sunday school. You understand these things. But a lot of times at the end of the day when you lay down in bed and if you ask yourself the question or you ask God the question, God, how did I do today? There are things that come up and you realize, wow, I didn't do so good. So we've got to have a respected church. Now let's look at the next one. It says, back to verse 13, no one else dared join them even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. A healthy church is a growing church. That's just the way it is. As individuals, We need to grow in our faith. But we can't just sit back and say, oh wow, we've got this great Sunday school program. And we've got this great small group program. And our people are just growing in the Lord like crazy. We can't just sit back and say, that's good enough. Because we have got to do the things that get out. I got to go to my neighbors. And I've got to be a witness to them. And if I am doing that, then maybe, just maybe, one of my neighbors is going to come to Jesus Christ. Now, if one of my neighbors comes to Jesus Christ, what am I going to do? I'm going to get him in this church. Right? And the church grows. We have a lot of babies around here. That's great. But that's not the kind of growth that we're talking about. We're talking about us being obedient to God and us ministering to people so that the church is growing. So, we've talked about the first one is that it needs to be a supernatural church. Us relying on the power of God flowing through us to do what God has called us to do. The second one, we talked about us being a respected church. In other words, us living our lives in such a way that people can look and people can respect our church. The third one, of course, then, was we need to be a growing church. And the way that happens is that we minister to people and God makes a difference in their lives and they start becoming a part of this. The last one is verse 15. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Oh, man. I'd love to put Mayo out of business. But some of you are going, what? Don't say that. But wouldn't it be fun to just go into a hospital room with someone whom the doctors have said, I'm sorry, there really isn't anything more that we can do for you. And having, getting in between the light and them and having your shadow fall on them and bang, God totally heals them. I mean, honestly, wouldn't that be fun to see happen? Of course, it'd ruin your life. You understand that. Because no one would leave you alone anymore. You'd be walking down the street and someone would try to touch your shadow. But some interesting things were going on here. And I can cast a pretty big shadow, but honestly, my shadow does nothing to you but block your light. Okay? My shadow has no healing power. But God was doing something here because this was a healing church. And you know what? If we're going to be a healthy church, we have to be a healing church also. Now, again, remember, don't think I'm going crazy. Because I know that anyone who comes in here who's got a physical problem, now we can pray for them and we can ask God to heal them and God to minister to them and all this. But, you know, just because you come in here and ask for prayer doesn't mean God's going to do that. Alright? There were different things going on then that are going on now. But that doesn't negate the fact that we have to be a healing church. You realize that there are going to be people who walk through those doors who are going to be suffering financially. And they need to be able to come to a place where they can learn the principles of Christian finances. And they can have people around them to support them so that they can be healed in their financial woes. There are people who are going to come in who are literally emotional basket cases. You know, kind of like me this morning. All right? Kind of an emotional basket case based on what happened last night. All right? We need to be able to come. You know, we were doing our singing. All right? And I'd shared something in Sunday school and Kim leaned over to me. And Kim ministered to me as I was hurting for a different situation that I even told you about. So, I can hurt at home, or I can come to church and have Christians wrap their arms around me and give me words that heal me emotionally. Thank you, Kim. That's what a church needs to do. You need to know that when you come to this place, that you are going to go out in the process of being healed. Where you're going to meet people who literally and actually love you and are concerned about what's going on in your life, and they are going to do whatever they can do to help you get across that and to be healed of whatever situation you're dealing with. hey, when I get sick, I want my brothers and sisters in Christ at Emmanuel Baptist Church to be praying for me. If I'm having a financial difficulty or emotional problem, I want to know that you guys are there for me, and I want you to know that I'm there for you. So the four marks that we're talking about here from this passage, supernatural. They were relying on God's power to do what they could not do by themselves. That's amazing. They were respected. They were living their lives in such a way that people could look at them and know that they were living out their faith. And as a result of that, they were growing. People were coming to faith. And people were being added to their number. And they were ministering to people around them, healing them. Their healing was a little different than what's going on here, but they were healing them. And God's given us that very same thing. Now I guess I want to ask this simple question. Based on these marks of a healthy church, and knowing that obedient Christians form healthy churches that have effective ministries, I just want you to ask the question that I was asking myself last night. How obedient have I been? Have I been allowing God to work through me to do things which I think are impossible and that only He can do? Am I living my life in such a way that my neighbors and my friends and my co-workers can respect me, especially can they respect the fact that I am a Christian? Am I doing what is necessary to grow as a Christian? Am I growing myself personally as a Christian? And is this oozing out among other people and causing the church to grow? And am I being God's hands to minister to other people the healing that He wants to pour upon them? Some of you might be saying, yes, David, praise God, I am. Others of you might be saying, oh, man, I'm blowing it in every area. And some of you say, well, you know, I'm doing pretty good in two, but I need some help in two. You know, I don't know what God's putting on your heart. I just know He broke mine last night as I saw my neighbor's daughter being taken away in a police car and me knowing that I couldn't do anything to help that family because I hadn't built that relationship. It broke my heart. And last night, as I was pacing around the island in the kitchen, I started thinking about my sermon. And I started thinking about other passages. And God used this to start to wash over me healing and comfort. And knowing that, you know what, there's new people going to be moving in. And yes, I didn't do what I was supposed to do, but there's new people coming. I've got opportunity again. And yes, maybe in this church we haven't always done what we were supposed to do, but you know what? We've got opportunities to do it right and to do it again. And so, I'm hoping this morning that God has taken one part of this, at least one part of this, and caused you to think and to say, you know what? I am going to let God do that in my life. This morning I'm going to pray for you. But before we pray, I just like everyone right now just to bow your heads and close your eyes. And if you are here this morning and you are willing to make a commitment to God this morning, and you're saying, God, I haven't done what I was supposed to do, but You have shown me what I need to do, and I am going to be obedient to that. If you're willing to make that commitment and you want me to pray for you, I just put your hand up real quick, put it back down. If God's touched your heart, God's leading you in a way. Okay, yep. Anyone else? Okay. Thank you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are the first to acknowledge to You, a lot of times we just don't do it right. And we blow it. And You lead us and we get busy and we get off and we do things, and then all of a sudden we realize that a certain opportunity is gone. But Father, we thank You that You forgive us and that You give us other options and other chances. And Father, I pray for each one who raised their hand this morning and they're saying, Father, I want to be more what You've called me to be. Whether it's in the issue of just allowing You to work through me, whether it's an issue of making it right with someone so they can respect me, whether it's an issue of growing personally or reaching out to others, or just letting You use us as Your hands to minister to people. Father, whatever it is, I pray that You would bless each one who raised their hand. And that, Father, that You would help them to do whatever is necessary so that they can be the person that You've called them to be. And then, Father, I pray for this church that we would be obedient followers of Jesus Christ so our church could be healthy and so that our ministries can be effective. Thank You, Father, for showing us this in Your Word. Thank You for the comfort that You give. We love You, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.